we need to understand that the gospel is bigger than just one presentation. It's bigger than just the church is bigger than just one local church. The church is the body of Christ, and guess what? It's worldwide. And as we support one another, pray for one another, you know what? We get to be fellow workers. And that's what we're going to be talking about today from 3 John verses 1 through 8. And so we're going to be looking at 3 John if you want to turn over there. And it's just, it's awesome to see how even in the spawning of the early church, the principles were being laid down for us to follow today. Now, if you remember back in 2 John, he was saying, don't be helping out the false teachers. Whenever you see a false teacher who's come along and they are absolutely devoted to trying to wreck the presentation of the gospel, don't be greeting them and blessing them and trying to help them out, because like they're working against what God's doing. Now this one is just the opposite, in that he's saying that whenever you do help take care of a gospel worker as they're passing through, then you get to be a fellow worker for the truth. What is the truth? Is there an absolute truth? There is. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And he said, no one comes to the Father except through him. That's the absolute truth. And the Word of God is absolute truth. God wrote it down for us to have today through many different individuals who are his, and it is the truth that we are to follow. And, you know, we got a world full of people that are thinking there is no absolute truth. You can have your truth, I'll have mine. They can be opposing, and somehow or another they think that's going to work out, and it just isn't working out very well, is it, folks? It's really a mess. And you know why we have such a mess? Because everybody's trying to live by their own truth right now. And you know, the truth is, God is the creator. Amen? God is the sustainer. Amen? The Word of God is his truth. Amen? It's absolute in its nature, and it's without error. Amen? And it's sufficient for everything that we need for life and godliness. Amen? And so we're going to be reading in it today. If you want to open your Bibles to 3 John, and we're going to be reading through 3 John the next couple weeks, and we're going to deal with 1 through 8 today. So let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. The elder. They signed their letters at the beginning. I like that. It's kind of strange how we sign the letter at the end now. Did you ever notice that? That's kind of our new custom. Do you guys ever look to the end before you start reading the letter? I always do, because I want to know who's from. It matters whose it's from. This is from the authority of the Apostle John. And it's accepted and has been accepted throughout church history that that's who wrote this. He just signed it the elder because he was the one who was going ahead. He was one of the older ones who had seen Jesus face to face. He had the authority to designate how we would act as a church from then on. And so praise God. The elder to beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we have read these verses, we're not going to try to break all this down today. We're just going to deal with the verses 1 through 8. But for the sake of context, I wanted to read it together. We need to know that we need to support others who are working, workers, co-workers in the gospel, working for the truth. We want them to support us as well and to help us along the way. And we also need to know that there's going to be some that are going to oppose the truth. Unfortunately, some of them are even ones who proclaim to be our brothers and sisters. But Lord, we're going to let you sort all that out. Let us just make sure we do what's right. And so, Lord, as we break this down today, help us to take it as a personal direction from the Apostle John to our lives today. Thank you that everything else is going to pass away, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord that we are reading today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's break this down just a little bit. Fellow workers for the truth. Whenever I was younger, I used to coach baseball. And I've noticed that in this church, it doesn't do me any good to bring up sports analogies because we don't have a huge interest in sports. And in a way, I can be kind of glad about that because it means that we deal with things, you know, that are a little more practical and real. But for me, the reason why I really enjoyed baseball was because it was a team sport. And I don't know how many of you have ever played baseball or softball or something like that, but like basically you're given the responsibility of your area on the field, and as you do your part, it benefits the whole team. And so one of the main things that I taught kids wasn't just so much, you know, how to win, because I wasn't really that concerned about winning and losing and what our record was. What I really wanted them to learn that I knew they would take with them for the rest of their life that would be good for them to have is to learn how to work with one another, to learn to work for the common good of the whole group and not just have, you know, be trying to be the superstar all the time. Now, maybe your sport was something else. Maybe you played football. Maybe you played basketball. All these are team sports, and they have to do with the larger group going forward together. Well, you know, the kingdom of God is a lot like that. So much of the time, it seems like churches can be kind of competitive with one another. That's so foolish. You know what we really need to be about? It's not about how many numbers of people came. This isn't like having fans or followers on Facebook. What we want is followers of Jesus Christ. That isn't just clicking a button on the bottom and it getting counted up in some big grand numbers so that we can all be real proud of it. This is about people whose lives are being transformed and they're set apart for heaven. And because they're going to be recipients of that great kingdom someday and they're already a resident in a way, or at least a citizen of heaven, and they're waiting for their full residency, they are being used to bring others into that kingdom and in the interim. And what a beautiful picture this is, guys. This is for all the marbles. This is for all the money. This is for everything that matters, what we do for the kingdom. It matters. It matters eternally. You know, Jesus said, don't store up your treasures where the moth and rust is going to destroy, where thieves break in and steal. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but inflation's it's eating up a lot of our money these days, isn't it? I put $135 worth of diesel in my poor little old pickup the other day. It's just a tiny little thing. I don't know how JD's feeling about all this. He's saying, that's nothing, brother. Oh, my goodness, a big truck. Yeah, and Ben's back there. He's grinning too, aren't you? I've been with them when he fuels up. You know what? Moth and rust is eating it up and destroying it, isn't it? If we had our hope in money right now and what we could purchase with it, we'd be really disappointed. If Praise God, that this does not limit God's ability to work. In fact, I think in some ways he's working more powerfully right now than what he has in, you know, in people's hearts for a long time. People are realizing we need something more. Amen? They're wanting hope. This is a time like I've never seen since I've been a Christian for us to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. And you know, as we go forward together, just remember, the team's bigger than us. That's why we're driving to Kentucky. You know, everybody would say, some people might say, well, why go to Kentucky? Well, partly because sometimes we need to get out of our context, get out of our comfort zone a little bit. Sometimes we need to be challenged. But one thing I know for sure, Brother Harold is part of the team. And he's got an awesome opportunity to be able to minister to people in the aftermath of a tornado that wiped a whole town off the map. And me and Brother Sam had the pleasure of being able to go during some of the recovery process when they were just trying to get some stuff cleaned up. And we could see right away there's going to be a lot of rebuilding to do here. This is an opportunity that we can be part of that bigger team. Now, as we go, you know what? They're going to have an opportunity to help take care of some of our needs. They're going to supply lodging. They're going to supply some other support and things of that nature. We've been taking up a little bit of a special offering. And somebody gave a nice offering last week to help with our needs for our mission trip. And it's just, you know, that means you're part of the team. If you'll pray while we're gone, that God will open doors. Things will happen. Part of the team. If you keep the ministry going here on Wednesday night and come, you know, during the prayer meeting and things like that, you're part of the team. This is all for the same Master and Lord Jesus Christ. He's the winner in the end, amen? And anybody that's standing with him wins as well. This letter was a little bit different than 2 John. 2 John was to the elect lady, and I really believe that 2 John was to another church. Because he says at the end of 2 John, you know, he says that her sister greets her, and the elect sister greets you. I think it was two different local churches, but all part of the same big church, part of the same family. Here we see that this letter is to beloved Gaius, a particular individual, and I believe one of his disciples. I believe, go to that next slide there, please. This is one of his disciples. Do you have a disciple in your life? If you can't really identify one, start praying God will give you one. I'm pretty sure you are discipling somebody, so I hope you recognize who it is, and probably multiple people. Did you know people are learning from you? Make sure they're learning the right stuff, right? You'll make mistakes. When you do, be real about it so that they'll learn the right stuff of how to be humble when you make a mistake too, amen? But here's the thing. We need to be actively discipling other people and help preparing them like doing it as an intentional act of our volitional will, that we would connect ourselves with other individuals, encouraging them in the faith, and that's what John is doing in this letter to Gaius. This is one of his disciples, and he calls him beloved Gaius. Do you love those others? Do you want to see him go forward? Do you want to see him grow? He says, whom I love in truth. He loves him, like, actually enough to be honest with him. He loves him enough that like, he writes this letter to him so he makes sure that he's on the right track. You see, John even prayed for him. Do you pray for your disciples? Do you pray for your disciples? Do you pray with your disciples? I know. I'm really making everybody uncomfortable now. Maybe not. Maybe you're saying, yeah, preacher. But I don't know. I kind of get this sense of quietness right now. Do you know how many people that I have tried to disciple along the way that are still so afraid to pray out loud with another individual? You might be sitting there saying, you're not going to make me do it, preacher. You're right, I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not even going to try to make you do it. But I'm going to ask you something. Do you think God wants you to do it? Do you think that he at least wants you to be available? Do you think he wants you to be agreeable with it? Do you think he wants you to be willing to obey him in it? People need prayer, folks. And if we're the people of God, we have a special position with God to pray. We pray through Jesus. What we agree on is answered. Amen? Be willing to not only pray for, but pray with your disciple. 3 John 1, 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. You know what? That prayer itself says a lot, doesn't it? That prayer really caught my attention. A lot of times we focus a lot on just the physical stuff, you know? You got anything that you'd like for me to pray about? Yeah, you know, I need this health concern, or this particular bill is coming up, or this particular problem is going on. What if that person said, I'll tell you what, I'll pray that you prosper in those things just as your soul prospers. In the same proportion to, equal to, how well your soul's doing. You know, it'd be sad if I got all the physical blessing of the world, but my soul was languishing. You know, sometimes God's using these trials in our life to make our soul long for him more. And you know, John says a mouthful here. He says, you know what, guys? I care more about your soul than I do about your physical stuff. And so I'm praying that as your soul is being built up, so will God take care of all your physical needs. That's a good prayer, isn't it? You know, these last couple years that have been a challenge for a lot of people, I think it's on purpose. God's purposefully allowing this because he wants to get our attention to put spiritual matters first. And like I say, I hated having to put $135 in my tank. But it's good for me. That way I'm not putting too much trust in my money. Because you know what? In the end, it's not going to cure my problems anyways. It's teaching me to depend more on God. That's kind of the question they brought up. But we want our physical blessing to be limited to the level of our spiritual condition. Man, that's kind of a big question, isn't it? Well, listen to what Jesus says about it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Guys, our soul is more important than our physical stuff. Amen? So let's pray. When we pray, and maybe I pray, you know, God, cure this problem for me. You know, God, I need you to cure this problem for me. Maybe I need to add in there, but God, do everything in me spiritually that you want to do through this. Let's pray that for others as well. Let's not be in, you know, have this attitude that their physical problems are more important than their spiritual problems. If you notice, there's a lot of spiritually bankrupt people in this world. And I think they need their spiritual life built up more than their physical lives. So let's pray like John prayed. Okay, so we're going to get into this whole visitor thing and itinerant workers in the gospel, meaning that they travel. And he's going to give direction to Gaius concerning this. We read the whole thing so that we would see there were some in this church who did not show kindness to those who were traveling through. And so Gaius is getting a personal special letter from his discipler, John, telling him how to respond to these things. And so these visitors who had traveled through actually ended up in John's presence in some way. And these visitors reported that Gaius had the truth in him evidenced by his walk. Listen to what it says. John said, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." You know, I get around this town and around the county quite a bit, and I'm blessed. I'll tell you why. Because whenever I get into different areas of this county, oftentimes people will say, I introduce myself, and they'll say, "What do you do?" Or, you know, "What do you do for a living?" Or whatever. "Well, I'm a pastor at Cadet Baptist Church." "Hey, I've heard of your church." And you know why they say that oftentimes? They'll say, "I know a member of your church. they helped in this, or they did that, or they were part of this. And I've actually had people say, there must be some really good stuff happening in that church. Man, that's a good reputation to have. I like that reputation. And you know, as you're under shepherd here at this church, there's nothing pleases me more than to hear that you're walking in the truth. You know, I get to hear from other people, I really trust so-and-so that's in your church because I can tell they're an honorable person. It's a good witness. Keep it up. Keep doing that, because that is the platform for the gospel to go forward. We don't always see, you know, like huge numbers and things like that. Don't judge success like that. We judge success by faithfulness. So keep being faithful, just as this rejoiced John's heart. His heart rejoiced greatly when he got back this report. This made him rejoice. And he goes on in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Spiritual children. When you have a person you're discipling, they could actually be your physical child. They could be your biological child, because you should be discipling your biological children. But how about those spiritual children too? Do you rejoice when you see them actually following what they learn in the Bible? Absolutely. And I love that he refers to it as my children. Have that kind of heart for the people that you're discipling, that you care for them like your child. Isn't that a beautiful thought? You see, a lot of the world is keeping like arm's length distance from one another. In fact, we were taught during the whole COVID thing, you know, 6 foot, don't ever get closer than 6 foot. That's why, you know, I mean, it's like you're going to have a hard time in this world staying 6 foot from everybody all the time, aren't you? And at least in a spiritual way, let's get a lot closer than that, even if it's over the telephone. You know, you can get closer to somebody by getting to know them, by being honest about yourself and wanting to know about them. And then I think whenever we get around each other, it'll be just like we did see. Everybody's hugging on one another and shaking hands, and just because we care about one another, right? We want to be close. And so like, I love it that he said that it rejoiced him to see his children walking in that truth. And he goes on, and it, you know, looking at what he has to say here, we're gonna get into verses 5 and 6. But before we do, I'm just wondering, like, would these same things be said of us? Do we walk in truth? Do we have the truth in us? Did you notice that he said that? That they walked in the truth just as it, that they had the truth in them, that Gaius had the truth in him just as he walked in the truth. So would it be said that people would see that in your walk, that people would see that because you walk that way, it's in you? And then I'm just going to ask you, do we bring joy to our teachers? So I did it from the one side as the discipler. Now I'm going to ask you as a discipler, do you think that your walk in your life is pleasing those who have been trying to disciple you or have discipled you in the past? I have this pastor that used to be, I was really close to at Sandy Baptist Church. He's moved on. He's in a different area. But anytime I run into him at a convention or something like that, it's always a joyous time of just sharing what God's been doing recently. You know, even though we're not ministering side by side anymore, we're doing it still, and this is the same team. He's in Texas now. Everything's bigger in Texas. Disaster Relief's bigger in Texas. And he is the actual leader of their Baptist Texas men, their disaster relief. And, you know, I hear his name. I've even heard his name on the national news before because of just the way that they've responded to different things and that. And I'm so happy whenever I hear that. And whenever he runs into me, he's happy to see that I'm still following the Lord. You know why? Because he got to have a hand in that. Are you happy to see the people that you've touched and they go on to follow the Lord, go on to serve him? I pray that you are, and I pray that you're making those who touched your lives happy too in that, especially more than any, Jesus. Jesus is the only reason why we are following him today, right? It's because he's real, because he revealed himself to us, because he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. I pray that in some small ways, my flawed self can still, in just through acts of obedience and just acts of love and just time spent with him, that it might please him in small ways. If you think that's not possible, then you need to read the rest of the scripture, because he talks about greeting those who make it to the end. Well done, good and faithful servant. He even says, since you've been faithful in small things, more will be given to you. In his parable of the talents. Isn't that a beautiful sight, a beautiful thought? I pray that our obedience and our walking with him and our little just shred of faith, it's so small sometimes, it's like a thread. I pray that even that would just be a little bit of pleasure to him as we act upon it. Remember, it's all a gift from him. But we got a choice what we're going to do with it when we get it. This letter is to encourage Gaius to receive gospel workers showing hospitality. That means Gaius has a choice in this matter, how he's going to do it. And so he's encouraging him to make the right choice. And in 3 John 1:5-6, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for the strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. How would you treat God if he visited your house? I don't know, that sounds like a weird question. I got a hand up. Go ahead. Honoring him greatly. Anybody else have a thought? How would you treat God if he visited your house? Shelly? Best of your ability? How would you treat God if he visited your house? Respect. Anybody else? Would you give him the leftovers? I got some leftovers in the fridge. They got a little mold on them, but I think if you scrape that off the top, it might still be okay. I don't think that's how you'd treat God if he visited your house, would you? You'd want to send God forward in his journey you'd give him whatever the best of what you had, right? If you knew it was him. Well, what John's saying is, you know that one that's serving him? Send him forward in a manner worthy of God. Treat him like he's an extension of God in your home. Whenever I went to Sri Lanka, they took that part really literally, and it made me really uncomfortable. I went there to serve them because I was there to serve God and I wanted to serve the church. And man, they treated me with such joy and respect that I came so far to be with them and to help them. And it was really uncomfortable for me because I'm not used to receiving. I'm more in the giving part of it. And it was so humbling. It really challenged me to make sure that my heart was totally in what we were doing there. You know what? We kind of make the joke, kill them with kindness. They were killing me with kindness. It made me so want to do well while I was there with them. And we've found the same no matter where we've traveled in this world. And I will have to say, I want to do the same for them when they come. I want to do the same for any passerby who's trying to serve the Lord, that we would just so send them forward in their journey in a manner worthy of God. Because if we do that, we do well. You know, sometimes I'm afraid we may be hoping somebody else will do it first. Do you ever find that to be the case? You know, we shouldn't expect the world to provide for the workers in the church, but we should be wanting to provide for them personally, don't you think? That's kind of what he says. He says, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. They weren't looking to be paid from those who they were going to be serving. So that behooves us even more to make sure that we take care of them, is what he's saying. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Let's try to be the first in line to do it, rather than waiting on somebody else to do it. You know, fellow workers for the truth. That's where we end up in verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Do you know, if you get to be the first one to bless the one who's serving the Lord, that means you get to become a fellow worker as well. I remember the first time that we invited an individual into our home that was going to be coming to speak at our church, and I think it was probably the first time, but anyway, it was one of those times. It was a gentleman by the name of Pastor Mujahid. Mujahid had become, he was coming to speak at our church through the Voice of the Martyrs, and my wife, she kind of got this thing of hospitality. It was really a beautiful thing, and as she reached out, you know, I was like, I don't know that I've ever, you know, really had someone that I just didn't know personally come over and spend the night. I mean, it felt weird to me at first. Man, it was a huge blessing. As we ministered to him, he ministered so much more to us. And through my life of walking with the Lord, he's who I went to Sri Lanka with. He's who I traveled with and learned from and grew with. And I mean, it opened such a door there that I was blessed through. And so I want to encourage you, whenever you have the opportunity, bless those who are serving God. You won't be sorry. And as you do, God will open new doors for you. You know, this was from a discipler to his disciple. And it was you might say biblical advice. He was literally writing the scripture as he gave this word to him. It's for us too. The Apostle John gives us this direction. And it's kind of goes along with 1st and 2nd John. He's given us direction. We discovered that the direction from 1st John was, we can really know if we're a Christian, if we're a born-again believer. Do you know that you know that you know? When you draw your last breath here, you'll be with him in heaven. I pray you do. If you don't, you need to do something about it. If the Lord's drawing your heart, come to the altar. Give your heart to Jesus fully. 2nd John tells us, don't help the false teachers, guys. They're working against us. Don't just be doing it to be polite, because you know what? You could be helping them deceive others. That's not good. And in 3 John, he's saying, do make sure you help the truth teachers. Help the truth teachers, because the truth is going to continue to lead people in the right direction to the one who is the truth. Guys, don't be afraid to get involved. Do it for the team. Do it for Jesus. This is Team Jesus. God bless you all to continue to serve God with your lives. And you know what? You'll never regret the things you do for Jesus. You're going to get to treasure them forever. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for these dear, beloved children of God. Lord, thank you that you have allowed me to be the under-shepherd here. Thank you that I get to help to disciple individuals who want to get closer to God. Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen each one of them to be disciplers of others as well. And Lord, I pray that as we serve you, that you'll give us opportunities to serve one another and to serve those who are passing through that are serving you as well. I know from experience, it brings such a blessing upon our homes. It brings such a blessing upon our hearts. It brings such a blessing in the kingdom of God. It promotes love. Lord, bless us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.